In this episode, we're talking about making disciples, so sit back and stay tuned for more. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Monday Moments, the show in which we take a deeper dive into Sunday sermon. My name is Travis, your host. With me today is the man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Dennis. And we are continuing our sermon series called First Things First. If you have not had a chance to listen to this past Sunday's message or any of the messages in the series, we encourage you to go do that. You can do that on our YouTube channel, on our website, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And as I mentioned in our intro, we're talking about making disciples. And I think that today is going to be a very good conversation. I think it's going to be somewhat interesting because we kind of had a little bit of a chat before this about how, you know, making disciples, we oftentimes think of kind of a program, if you will, when it comes to making disciples, but that's not often the starting place. And we very rarely see that being played out that way. So I'm excited about our conversation today. And as I do so often with James and anyone who, you know, watches or listens to Monday Moments, on any regular basis knows that I always like to start just like my 5-year-old and ask why. And, you know, in your message, you talked a lot about loving people the way that Jesus loved people, going after the people that Jesus went after and seeing them with compassion, the same way that Jesus saw them with compassion. And, you know, I think for something that sounds so fundamental and so obvious, it seems like we continue to go back to that struggle of really loving our neighbor. And at times, in varying ways and varying degrees, we can kind of find ourselves in a position similar to the Pharisees when they asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? You know, kind of in that justification kind of a mode. And so you mentioned the belong, believe, behave model. And so I guess just going back to my initial question, why is loving like, what was it? I don't think, it was just why. So why? why is loving like Jesus oftentimes so challenging for us?
Yeah. Because we're sinners.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that really is. I'm not being facetious.
Sure.
We so often talk about making disciples as if because I'm mature in the Lord, because I've served God for a long time, because I know more of the Bible than somebody else, therefore I'm qualified to make disciples.
Sure. I've attained this certain level, if you will.
And that is exactly, that was always the problem of the Pharisees. And I'm not saying we're all Pharisees.
Sure.
I'm saying that we're all given to not remembering who we are.
Right.
So how do you make disciples? Well, my premise Sunday morning was that you first have to become a disciple. Mm-hmm. And how do you become a disciple? You have to get to know Jesus and continue to get to know Jesus.
Right.
And that way, that when I'm making disciples, what I'm doing is all I'm doing is I'm inviting people to love this Jesus who loves them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, here are the things that you need to do in order to be a disciple. Because discipleship, for me, when it was first introduced to me, was a step beyond. And I realize that there's a truth to this, too. It's a step beyond becoming a Christian.
Yeah.
Become a Christian, and he's your Savior, and then you have to make him your Lord, and then you're a disciple.
Mm.
And even though there's great truth in all of that, it's not a bunch of things to do.
Right.
It's a matter of really understanding at a heart level more and more how much Jesus actually loves me and forgives me.
Right.
What is the compassion of Jesus?
Right.
And over, you know, we don't even recognize. We don't read the Bible looking for the emotional part of Jesus' life.
Right.
But the times that he said, that the Bible says that he had compassion, and he operated out of that compassion. He did things because of that compassion. He taught things because of that compassion. He didn't do and teach things in order to say to other people, now you do and think the way I am. He did things because of his compassion.
Right.
And so to really just to begin to recognize how much this Jesus loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I want to be like him.
Yeah.
And if I'm like him, I'm actually going to love people more.
Right.
I'm going to love them more than I did before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to begin to see them as Jesus sees them.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to see sin in people.
Sure.
Not easy to see sin in me.
Right, right.
And the sin in me allows me to say to somebody else, you're not as good as me.
Yeah.
Or to see other people and to say, I'm not as good as them. So mm-hmm. I'm either condemned or right. I'm prideful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I see Jesus and I recognize that no matter what is in me, he is absolutely loving me.
Mm.
And therefore, he is extending to me all of the benefits of the Holy Spirit and transformation.
Yeah.
And it inspires me mm-hmm. to become more like him,
right.
which means that when I go out to make disciples, what I'm doing is I'm just representing him.
Yeah.
And people are coming because they see the love of Jesus.
Right. And it reminds me of the interaction that Jesus had when, you know, the woman came and washed his feet and anointed his feet, and the Pharisees became indignant and said, Jesus, if you only knew.
If you knew who she was.
If you knew who she was.
They're saying this to the person yeah, who created her.
Exactly. Well, and I love that, you know, Jesus flips. He flips it on him.
Yeah.
He flips the script and he says, you know, those who have been forgiven much love much. And I think for us, sometimes in our humanness, we can tend to, you know, kind of create this sliding scale, you know, of, I've only done a little, so therefore I must only love little, or man, I've really done a lot. And therefore, you know, we kind of have that human scale that we sort of bring out intentionally or unintentionally when we hear those words or we read those words, and we don't realize that we've all been forgiven much. And,
yes.
you know, and when you realize that, then it ought to prompt us to have that same love for Jesus and then for others.
Yeah, and it never stops growing. See, that's the point.
Right.
I don't become a good discipler.
Yeah.
As if there are bad disciplers and really, really good disciplers.
Yeah.
I'm not on this scale.
Yeah.
A disciple of Jesus makes other disciples, mm. not because we're good at something,
mm-hmm.
but because we're like our Savior.
Mm.
And a yeah. disciple is someone who becomes like the one they're serving.
That's good.
That's what a disciple is. And I see it in other countries where there are gurus or others, you know, and you look around and you see they're disciples.
Yeah.
In fact, in Judaism today, if you're in Jerusalem and you're there during the Shabbat, Friday night, the Sabbath, you will see the rabbis and their disciples, and they're all designated by the hats they wear.
Wow. Yeah.
And the hats are different,
yeah.
and so you can tell this is a disciple.
Mm.
So what is the defining attribute of Jesus? What defines him?
Yeah.
I'm asking you a
question. I would say, making sure I answer this, right? I mean, he loved others. I mean, I think if you boiled it down, you know, and it reminds me of that moment that he had in and around the Last Supper, where he took off his robe, put on an apron, he took the form of a servant, and he washed feet. And he said, no servant is greater than his master. If I do this to you, you ought also to do this to one another.
Yeah, and I love it how he said, you say I am master and Lord,
yeah, yeah.
And so I am.
Yeah.
And if I,
right.
the Lord,
yeah.
do this for you, maybe you ought to do this
yeah.
to another.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Travis. I think the other thing is, again, the most common scripture that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that, well, oh boy, I'm sure glad God loved the world because somebody needed to,
yeah.
and I'm not going to. No. If I'm going to be his disciple,
right.
then my love for the world has to grow.
Right.
It has to.
Yeah.
And there's no comparison, because the only person that we can honestly compare ourselves to is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
And to grow into that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's and I'll be honest with you, I've never thought of discipleship this mm-hmm. way. Mm. I was part of the discipleship movement. Mm. I had disciples under me. That's what we called them, you know, wow. that everybody knew those people who were who didn't know as much, and they were going to disciple them. And and it wasn't bad. It was, we were teaching other people. We have discipleship groups today. Yeah. We have discipleship programs today. Mm. And none of those things are bad. Mm-hmm. They really are not. But the basis of it, the basis of it has to be, I want to be around Jesus because I'm drawn to his great love. And therefore, I want to go out and love others the same way.
That's good.
You know, gosh, and I talked about the Pharisees, the difference between a disciple and a proselyte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the proselyte had to memorize and obey the law.
Yep.
They had to have a physical designation, circumcision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they were now not a Greek, but a Gentile.
Yep.
And then they had to serve and give and prove that they were committed.
Yeah.
And yet, they were never a complete part of the family. They were always a proselyte, which meant stranger.
You know? Interesting. Yeah.
And so we see people like that in the church today.
Yeah.
And I want to reach out to them, and I want to say, you know,
yeah.
You're the same.
Yeah. Well, and Jesus even said, you know, the if I can remember how this goes, it's, you know, the Pharisees and the leaders of the Gentiles lord it over you, but among you it's not to be that way. Yeah.
And I love how he just says,
no. Yeah, no. Exactly.
Not to be that way.
No, yeah, exactly. It's going to be different. It's supposed to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wasn't cutting them any slack.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah, very clear.
It's not to be that way.
Mm.
So as we look at it,
yeah,
we can know the very first great lesson.
Yeah.
It's not to be that way.
It's good. Yeah.
Not to be that way.
Yep. So I think that there are, you know, a certain degree of people, or even in each of us at times, that can want to justify, right? Like, who's my neighbor, right? Yeah. I think that there's a legitimate amount of people who really do say, I want to love people the way that Jesus loved them, but how do I balance loving people the way that Jesus did, but not, you know, tolerating sin or watering down the truth or things like that? You know, they genuinely want to do well in loving people, but are maybe caught up or trying to figure this out. How do we make disciples in that way?
Yeah. Oh boy. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't see Jesus ever worrying about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking before about the, you know, what was known as the seeker-sensitive movement, and that's what people throw up.
Well, sure.
Oh, well, yeah. You know. And if you've ever heard, and yeah, I know you've heard me, greasy grace and sloppy agape are not a part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You don't slide into the kingdom of God.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
When I am confronted with the love of God in my heart, then what happens is that with that love of God comes the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not the one to bring conviction. I've never had to tell people,
mm-hmm.
hey, by the way, that's sin.
Yeah.
They know it. Mm-hmm. We all know it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it. And that is the Holy Spirit coming and bringing conviction.
Yeah.
My job is when they come to me and they say, yeah, but I'm not holy enough, I'm not good enough, my job is to say, no problem.
Right.
And let me tell you why. Here's what God's word says. He says that none of us can change. Right. None of us can change on our own. But he will give us not just the power, he'll give us a whole new life.
Right.
And so, yeah, I hear that. And And I realized that this is, in one sense, a fine line. But the fine line it's not up to me to, again, bring conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not up to me to do that. Yep. Now, in the church, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different in the church. Mm. If I love people in the church, mm-hmm. then I am actually willing to go to them with what we call righteous judgment.
Sure.
And say, you know, I've struggled there too, and I see you struggling, and I want to walk with you.
Yep.
Will you let me do that? You know, that's different.
Right.
But this idea that I'm supposed to go out to the world that doesn't know Jesus and begin to declare, mm-hmm. Here are all your sins, and when you change this, then you can come to God.
Sure.
That doesn't match up to the gospel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't match up to what Jesus did.
Right.
You know, the woman caught in adultery is the most fantastic story because he does both. He's down in the pit with her.
Yep.
Where she is.
Yep.
And basically, and I've said it before, that I realized one day that if they started to throw stones, they would have hit him first.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, "Who condemns you?"
Yeah.
"No one, Lord." Mm. "Well, neither do I." And then he says, "Don't sin anymore." Right. So it's not that it's not there.
Right. Right.
But it's that it's given by the right person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so. So I hear the question, and yet I'm not going to make a defense for loving people the way Jesus loved them.
Absolutely.
I'm not.
Absolutely.
The grace of God is so high you can't get over it, mm-hmm. so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it.
Yeah.
The wrath of God is the same.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
You can't deny either one of those things in the Word.
Yep.
And there is going to come a day when his wrath, righteous, just wrath, no one's going to say, "Hey, Jesus, isn't that too much?" No one's going to say that because it will be right.
Exactly.
But right now, my job to make disciples is to do the same thing for other people that Jesus did for me when I was totally lost in my sin.
Right.
And that was, he convicted me deeply, and other people told me that he would forgive me. And yet there came a point where I had to come to Jesus, and I'm telling you, when that happened, I was a full-fledged member of the body of Christ.
You know? Yep.
And that's what we need to know.
Absolutely. That's good. Yeah, and I think, are you loving people? And you and I had talked about this in a previous meeting. You know, discipleship really starts with, are you loving people the way that Jesus loved them? Yeah. That's got to be the starting point. Yeah. You know, all of these, you know, programs and things and think and do, and those aren't necessarily bad, but
no,
that's not, that's not discipleship. It's got to start with that motivation that Jesus had. You know, he had compassion on people. He loved people. And if that's not there, if that's not the motivation, then
just follow every time that the word compassion is used for Jesus. And you'll find that compassion was what motivated him to do two things, miracles and teach.
That's good. That's good.
But it was always before what came before. He saw the people, and he had compassion on them.
Yeah.
And he healed them, and he taught them. Mm-hmm. He saw the woman coming out of Jerusalem with the coffin of her only son. He wiped her tears. He had compassion on her, and then he healed him.
Right.
The man let down in the roof, the paraplegic who couldn't walk or on a bed, what did he say? Be healed? No, he said, "Your sins are forgiven."
Yeah.
Wow. And if that's all that had happened, that man would have lived out his days knowing, the compassion of God struck me. You know?
Yeah.
And then he healed him.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, too, there's an element, becoming like Jesus means he put on the form of a servant, and therefore we ought to also. And in that, it reminds me, and you can probably finish this because I won't remember it the exact way that I've heard you say it, is he left his world to enter into our world.
He left his world and entered into our world so that I could leave my world and enter into his.
Exactly. And I think the challenge to all of us is, are we willing to leave our world to enter somebody else's?
Yeah. Yes. You know,
and to be like Jesus in that regard.
Yes.
So I know we're running out of time. I hate to, you know, gloss over or skip through some of this, but if there's somebody, you know, who's watching this or listening to this and they're saying, gosh, I need to be more compassionate. What do I do? And I know so often we kind of categorize things in that terms of think and do instead of be, but how would you encourage someone that says, I want to change. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to love people the way Jesus loves them. How would you encourage them?
Yeah, you know, transformation is not something that happens where I go from A to Z.
Yeah.
I go from A to B.
Mm.
And to have a vision out here of this is what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, takes the plan of A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
And so consequently, what I find so often happens is that when I am convicted, oh, Lord, I just don't love the way you love. Lord, I'm snarky to my spouse. I am not, I am selfish with my children.
Mm.
I enter into those conversations at work that I shouldn't. I drink too much. I look at porn, whatever it is.
Yeah.
When I confess that, and I confess it not in the sense that says, I'm going to try harder.
Mm.
But I confess it in the sense that says, I cannot do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Yeah.
Then what's going to happen when I confess that and I ask the Lord to give me the power to overcome? Then what's going to happen is that I'm going to be presented with an opportunity to sin.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm also going to be given the power to say no.
Mm.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
It's the first step.
It's good.
And I have very real testimonies that I'll tell you in private.
Yeah.
About the first time that happened in my life.
Yeah.
I was 17 years old.
Mm.
And I had asked God to break an addiction in my life. And the next thing I find is that I'm presented, handed that very thing.
Wow.
But by the power of the Holy Spirit within me at that point, and I knew nothing of the Holy Spirit at that point. But I know what it is now. I said no.
Wow.
And I went, wow, life has changed.
Mm.
And then more opportunities come. James says this in the first chapter of James. It says, say no one when they're tempted, they're tempted by God.
Right.
But we are tempted when we are carried away by our own lust.
Mm-hmm.
When lust has conceived,
yep.
It gives birth to sin.
Yep.
So the sin is not the temptation.
Right.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
The sin is when I cross that line and I make that choice.
Yeah.
And transformation gives us a choice to make. We are called by God, and yet we choose to come.
Yep. Yep. It's good. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to talk a little bit more about your message. Such an amazing, it's like you said about grace, there's just so much depth to this.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so simple and so foundational, but there's so much depth to it. We could talk for so much longer.
Let me say one more thing before we quit. Discipleship has grown and matured over the years. So the things that we did in the past are not wrong.
Yeah.
But neither are they the same things that we need to be doing now.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a different generation. Life has changed dramatically. We all keep saying that, but yet we go back and think we can do the same things.
Sure.
And I really believe that we're coming to a place where we are going to simply be called to love people the way Jesus loves them.
Mm.
And then to watch and see what the Holy Spirit does. I see it every Sunday among people where they're coming and they're saying, here's what the Lord is doing in my life. And these are people who have known addiction, who have known brokenness, who have known terrible depressions.
Mm.
And yet we see God move.
Yeah.
And what are we called to do? We're called to first, not only, but first to love them the way Jesus loves them. Right. How do we do that? We've got to first understand how much Jesus loves me and respond the same way.
Right, right.
And thankfully, Jesus hasn't hit me with any lightning bolts. He hasn't torn me down.
Yeah.
He hasn't rebuked me, walked away and said, you're in, on retainers or go into the sin closet.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I really believe that we're coming to a place where the requirement of the mature church is to love people the way Jesus loves them and pray that the Holy Spirit will do his great work of conviction.
That's good.
Not of bringing guilt, but conviction of sin.
Right.
And as a result, transformation.
Yeah, that's good. And not to belabor, I know we're out of time, but at this, you know, I know and have seen so many times in our own church, you know, people come to us and they say, we're looking for a place, you know, they teach the Bible, the worship is accurate. But even as we had discussed previously, what continues to bring people back is they welcomed me.
Yes.
You know, the people there, not just the designated greeters and the ushers and the things, the people, they greeted me, they welcomed me, they made me feel like I was part of that. And I think about the the warning in the book of Revelations, you know, when the Spirit comes and says, I know, I see that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans and you reject all that, but there's one thing I have against you, and that you've lost your first what? Love. It wasn't you've lost your first, you know, theology or program, or you've lost your first love. And I think it's such a good reminder, a healthy reminder to say, are we, first of all, loving Jesus? And secondly, are we loving others the way that he loved them?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you again for taking some time. Yeah, this was a real treat. It really is. So, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments. We always hope that you get something out of this. And if you have, please let us know. Let us know in the comments. Send us an email. However you can, please let us know that you've enjoyed this. We always, always, always love to hear from you. Thank you so much again for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments. And we will see you next week.